more time before the Lord tonight. Praise God, Lord Jesus. God, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Praise God. That's such a sweet, sweet spirit in this place tonight. How many of you believe that God has a plan for your life? How many of you believe it's going to be great? I just believe. You can be seated if you would like. I failed to mention this, and the bulk of, or half of the people seemingly have left here for classes and such tonight, but Friday night we are having a different type of a prayer meeting. I want to encourage everyone to come. We have Brother Cisco. Now, this is not Jason Cisco, nor his father. It's a missionary to the country of Ghana. And this is Brother John Aka's home country. And he is going to be here with his family. They're not giving a missions presentation. They're just traveling through. And we're housing them for the evening. And we've invited them to come. And he's just going to take his liberty. And we're going to pray. Last time we had a missionary here, Brother Dominguez from the country of Peru, we had an incredible move of the Holy Ghost. And I talked with Brother Cisco today, and I said, you just do, brother, what you feel the Holy Ghost leads you to do. And I'm just excited about that. Also, not to get off on a tangent here, but we have it's Brother Brother Jorge. It's your birthday today, I understand. And Brother Dave Shroud, it's his birthday today. So I think these guys, turned 21 and 24 or something like that. I'm not for sure. I don't want to get accused of lying, so I'm just going to stick with the not for sure. Oh, I am excited. I really am. I'm excited for a number of things. I'm just excited about what God is doing. And our next pastor's prayer meeting or pastor's Bible study will be the first Wednesday of April. And I want to, last pastor's Bible study, we kind of gave you a lot of information on pastors and responsibilities and such. So you are aware and you know who to contact within the body, which direction to send people. It's very important. I know sometimes you think, well, this is a lot of information, and do we really need all of this? But you know, when you're directing someone in the kingdom of God, you need to know where to direct them. And I believe that it's as important sometimes as we know our way through the Word of God as much as we know our way through our own assembly and who people need to see and who to talk to and who to connect people with. Because the Word, the Church of God or the body of Christ, it's all about relationships and connections. Connecting people. And I'm excited about this. I'm excited. I believe that we are on a tipping point. I believe that our nation is at a tipping point. I believe that our city, our state, I believe our county, I believe our church, and I believe us as individuals are at a tipping point. And I'm going to go over that on our pastor's Bible study and where we fit in to this tipping point. So that will be coming up in a few weeks. Sunday evening, I entitled a message. I titled it Unleashed. And I spoke about unleashing the power that is within us. It's about letting that power that God gives to us. I seem to be really loud, so I don't know if I'm as loud out there as I am up here. But it's about letting that power that God has given to us and releasing that power into the world around us. He did not give us the power of the Holy Ghost for us to just sit on it. He gave it to us to take and spread around. So as I was studying for this message tonight, I began to look into the miracles that took place in the book of Acts. And I found it very amazing. I never really paid a whole lot of attention to this before, but out of the some 30-plus miracles that took place in the book of Acts, only one of those miracles took place within the church. Only one took place within the church. And I find that amazing. And as I get deeper and deeper into what God has called us to do and what God is expecting for us, the more that I realize that the key to all of this, the key to everything that we're doing and everything that the church is about, is getting the word out there. That's what it's all about. It's about getting the word out there. Now, I'm not talking about that every day we have to go down and we have to put up signs and we have to have street meetings and such. I know as a child many years ago, we had a lot of street meetings and we marched and all of this. I'm not talking about going down every day and setting up around the Capitol and taking and preaching. Although if that's what you feel God has called you to do, then go ahead and feel free to do that. But what I'm talking about is getting the word out in our daily lives by just living the word in our daily lives. So many times we meet people, we go different places, and people have no idea who we are or what we are or what we are about. But we need to be what God intends for us to be, and that is allowing what is held inside of you and inside of me to become unleashed, and that is becoming bold in the Holy Ghost. How many of you feel that you need boldness in the Holy Ghost? Now understand one thing, and this is something that we as Pentecostals, we always like to take and interpret boldness as bluntness, okay? Boldness is not bluntness, okay? We need to be bold in the Holy Ghost and still be nice and kind to people. We need boldness, church, not more bluntness. Boldness is a quality of standing out strongly and distinctively. It is boldness is behavior born out of a belief. So where do we get this amazing boldness from? And what does all of this mean? It means that we need to speak courage openly. We need to speak what we believe openly with assurance, with courage, with confidence, and to act without fear. That is what God is calling us when he calls us into a level or a spirit of boldness. We need to speak out our courage. We need to speak what we believe openly. We need to speak it with assurance. We need to speak it with courage, with confidence, and to act without fear. That's boldness. That's what we need to do. As we live in the world, as representatives of Jesus Christ and the Church of Jesus Christ, we need boldness. Acts 4, 8 through 10, reading from the New Living Translation, it says, then Peter, and I covered a little bit of this, and we're going to go into a little more of this tonight on Sunday night. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified but whom God raised from the dead. That's speaking boldness. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. So where did they get this amazing level of boldness? We may pray and say, Lord, give us boldness. And we may feel timid and shy, but where did they get this level of boldness? When we look at the members of the council that Peter and John were dragged in front of, they all knew who the disciples were. They all knew that they were ignorant and unlearned, especially Peter and John. They were ordinary men. They had no special training in the scriptures. They were not graduates from any Gamaliel's council or from any Bible school or anything like that. And they didn't have papers from the governor or the king stating their credentials. They were ordinary men just as you and me. But God gives to ordinary people extraordinary boldness when they begin to pray and seek for that boldness. And where did they get that amazing boldness. And as we read in this text, there are 2 points that jump out as to where this boldness comes from. First, Peter and John were full of the Holy Spirit. They were full of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was flowing in and around and through them. It wasn't just something that they lived on Sunday or the Sabbath. It was something that had been ingrained in their lives and had poured out of them. Now we know at this point that Jesus has ascended into the heavens and the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost. So where did it come from, church? Where did they get this boldness from? They got this boldness through prayer. They got this boldness not just through prayer, but through powerful prayer. Powerful prayer. Second, the council recognized and realized as men who had been with Jesus. Now understand, Jesus had ascended. He was no longer here, but they recognized that they had been with Jesus. In those days, it was not a custom for men of that stature to speak before the elders of the council. If you were uneducated, you did not take and get a seat with the elders and the council. It's much the same today. You don't get to argue before the Supreme Court if you do not have the correct credentials. So what was true then is also true today in some of areas of our lives. So it's apparent that it would not have been customary or natural for them to stand before the council of all the rulers and all of the elders and the teachers and speak so boldly to them. Sometimes as we look at our own lives, it is easy to speak up when you're around friends and you, when you're with your family. It's easy to take and speak boldly. It's easy when you're around the Thanksgiving table and the topic of religion or politics comes up and you boldly declare your opinion on religion or politics. But to get out on the street or get into the workplace and boldly declare what you believe is a little bit different. Something happened to give them the assurance and the confidence that they needed. Something happened to give them the courage to speak with amazing boldness. I believe that God desires to give Calvary Gospel Church and to each one of us here an amazing, extraordinary boldness in the Holy Ghost. He desires that we have the courage to stand up. He desires that we have the confidence to speak and to pray and to take the authority that he has given us in the Holy Ghost. I want to talk about that just for a minute. A little bit of a sidebar here. I want to talk about why he gave us the Holy Ghost. Now, it's my observation. This is just clearly my observation. You may have your own opinion, your own observation. But I have observed as Christians today that we use the Holy Ghost really but in one dimension of our lives. That's what I would call our personal dimension. Everything that is about us personally, we have the Holy Ghost because it's our personal salvation. Jesus Christ, we've repented of our sins. We've been baptized in the name of Jesus, and he fills us with the baptism or the Spirit of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. This Acts 2:38 speaks out to us. So we have this personal dimension in our lives. We use it for our own personal needs. If it's our problem and it's no one else's, if you want the Holy Ghost, you get it for yourself. If you need this, so you need kind of get it for yourself. I got my Holy Ghost. I got my God, and I'm going to use it for my own personal purposes. So we become very one-dimensional with our Holy Ghost. And God is saying that, you know what? That power that's inside of you, that power that I gave you, you are looking to get into the supernatural power of God. That power I gave you is within you, and it's not just designed as a personal power pack for you. We desire great things of God and from God. But what are we doing? Where are we going once we get them? You see, we like to say, God, use me in the gifts of healing. We pray this. We look at all of the fivefold ministry, and we look at all of the various gifts that he gives out to the church. And we look, you say, oh, I want to be used in the gift of healing. I want to be used in the gift of helps, the gift of administrations. And we can go on and on. But if we never help anyone, if we never pray for anyone that needs healing, if we never get involved in a ministry of any type, why do we need the gift? Why would God give you a gift of healing if you refuse to lay hands on someone and use that gift? Think about this. Just think of this. Is actually so simple that it just boggles our complex minds. Why would I give you a jackhammer if you work in a jewelry store? You don't use a jackhammer to chisel a fine diamond. I gave you the wrong gift, or the gift is useless because it doesn't work for what it was applied for. And God gives us, desires to give us gifts. But if we don't use those gifts, why would we expect God to give them? Just think about that. We desire great things from God, but what are we doing when we get them? So, God, we say, God, use me in all of these gifts. But if we never help anyone, we never pray for someone, why do we need it? You see, God has given this to us for more than just our own salvation. So I look at this, and this is what God has just kind of really dealt with me about. We have our personal Holy Ghost, and then we have our public Holy Ghost. And the farthest that our public Holy Ghost gets is when we're in church. Right here tonight is as farthest as our public Holy Ghost gets in most of us. It's really quiet here now. I'm praying that God would unleash upon this congregation a holy boldness, so that we would go boldly where no man has gone before. We all understand that one. To boldly go, to give us the boldness that we can take and declare the victory, declare the power and the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. We spoke of this on Sunday night when Peter and John were freshly out of, just we've gone through Acts 2 and 4, and Acts 2:38, and the revival and the Holy Ghost outpouring. And they come upon this crippled man at the gate, beautiful, and they just go up and they speak to him. They just speak to him, and the man jumps up and takes off running and jumping. The people were absolutely astounded when they saw the lame beggar walking, and everyone rushed out to take hold of Peter and John. And Peter, being full of the Holy Ghost, says, hey, here's an opportunity. I think I'm going to use this opportunity to tell them about Jesus Christ. And with boldness, Peter preached unto them Jesus. He didn't hesitate. He told them that through faith in the name of Jesus, the man was healed. It was nothing on us. It's nothing we did. It was through the name and the power of Jesus Christ that this man was healed. And the boldness that God has given to each one of us, if it's used properly, can and will change this city. But we must unlearn some things. We must unlearn our former behavior and former habits, and we must operate in the boldness that the Lord gives us through the Holy Ghost. What he gives us is full assurance. What he gives us is not intimidated. When there are overwhelming numbers that come against us, spiritual boldness comes from knowing Jesus Christ. That's where it comes from. Spiritual boldness knows, and it comes from knowing Christ. But I want to challenge you tonight. It's one thing to know Christ, but it's another thing, or excuse me, it's one thing to know about Christ, but it's another thing to know Christ. This is where a lot of gimmicks come from. And I don't think I gave you the title of my message tonight, but the title of my message tonight is Growth Without Gimmicks. Because sometimes we feel and people feel that if you're going to grow and we're going to grow, there's got to be some kind of a gimmick that goes along with it. Listen, the only thing I want to use in growing the kingdom of God is the power and authority of the Holy Ghost as it works in us and through us. There's no gimmick in God. You can't fake it. Eventually, it catches up to you. You can do all kinds of gimmicks and all kinds of things, but this is where a lot of the gimmicks come from, is people know about Jesus Christ, but they don't know Christ. And when I talk about knowing Christ, I'm talking about a personal relationship, about knowing Him on a personal level to experience Him. It amazes me today how many people talk about the Holy Ghost and talk about the Holy Spirit, but they don't want to experience it. I don't understand why you would talk about it, you would pray to it, but you don't want to experience it. Listen, this is the difference between knowing Christ and knowing about Christ. The seven sons of Sceva. Now, they weren't just seven boys from some old, some guy that was a no name. Their father was a Jew. He was a chief of priests. He was in the hierarchy of the Jewish priestlyhood. And, I mean, he was not just some guy off the street. And he had seven sons. And they decided that just because they knew about Jesus, they didn't personally know Him, but they had heard about Him. They had heard about some of the things He had done. And they said, here's a demonic man. Let's go cast out some spirits. So they approached this man. They attempted to lay hands on him, and he put a whooping on him, stripped them all naked, and they're running through the streets butt naked with the demonic man chasing after them. And the man I could see as he cries out saying, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? Who are you? By what power and authority do you have to come and rule me? That's just knowing about Jesus. Now, to know Christ is to go up to the spirits and say, in the name of Jesus, I'll rebuke you. Just as the demonic man knelt before Jesus, the demons in him understood the authority that was working through Jesus Christ. They had to bow before Him. So that's why the evil spirits declare, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, but who are you? You see, as well as relationship with Jesus, in time, as our relationship grows with Jesus, it builds our faith. And by building our faith, that leads to boldness. And by using spiritual boldness, that produces spiritual results. See where this progress, this whole process goes. And this is where we're desiring to go. We've been preaching on the supernatural. And as I was studying and praying about this and saying, God, I want to see the supernatural, He just spoke so clearly and says, listen, church, listen. The supernatural lies within each and every one of us. But we have a hard time grasping that. We have a hard time wrapping our heads and our minds around that. We've been preaching on the supernatural. It lies within us. Everyone, when you look at the council there, everyone in that council that Peter and John were dragged before knew and could tell that they had been with Jesus. If we're to overcome the spiritual wickedness around us, if we're to overcome the fear and the doubt that is cast at times into our hearts and into our minds, we must spend time with Jesus Christ. They came from the upper room experience. They had just fresh off the day of Pentecost. They had just seen some 2,000 or 3,000 people filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. They were full of the Holy Ghost. They spent time with the Lord. We cannot expect the supernatural to flow through us if it's not active within us in prayer. Prayer is what activates it. You may say, why do I not experience the supernatural in my life? It's directly connected to the level of prayer in which you manifest in your life. Prayer is the key. Prayer is what fuels the fire, that fuels the faith, that fuels the power of the supernatural in our lives. I go back to our board meeting, and this is just so profound and so powerful with me when we were discussing a situation, and God spoke to us and says that we have much faith. In the situation, the church that was struggling, we were discussing about assisting. They had so little. We had much faith. And I go back to that, and I'm realizing more and more and more, church, that faith is power. Faith is power. Power comes from prayer. Understand this. It is prayer. Prayer activates faith. Faith promotes power. Power blows into the supernatural. It's something that flows out of us. It comes out of here. We have to understand that. I'm trying so hard in my own personal life to say, God, help me. Help me not to just grasp this, but help me to begin to live this. We're on a journey together, church. We're on a journey together. Faith is power. When we spend time with the Lord, it will give us, we will have an explosion of faith. Spend time with the Lord in the Word. Spend time with the Lord in prayer and worship. Spend time with the Lord in the Spirit. Peter and John, they acted and spoke spontaneous. The Spirit, the supernatural, was with them and working powerfully within them. They had boldness, and their boldness came because they had a relationship with Jesus Christ. When you spend time in conversation with God, your faith explodes. That faith gives you boldness to even speak to mountains. That faith gives you boldness and courage to stand up and speak out for the name of Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost is what reveals everything that is available to us in Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost reveals it to us. It reveals the secret and the hidden things of God. It shows us the reality of the resurrection. It brings out the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. It is from that exposure, that time in prayer, time with the Lord, that the Holy Ghost that is within us ignites our faith and produces action. Produces action. Action. What does action do? Action produces and forces results. Listen, you can't have faith when God says, I have give you faith as a grain of mustard seed, and you exercise that faith. That produces and puts things into action. And every time God's power is put into action, there are results as a result of God's power. What are the results? Just look at this. What are the results of the power of the Holy Ghost working through Peter and John? In the same day, the scripture says, in the same day, 5,000 men. 5,000 men, not accounting the women and children, were added to the church according to Acts chapter 4. That is results. Can you imagine that? Can you just imagine that for 1 minute? One miracle. One miracle. 5,000 people were added to the church as a result. Talk about results. God is ready to fill his church with that same boldness. If we spend time with the Lord, he will build our faith, and that faith will give us boldness, and that boldness will produce results. So I'm telling you, church, don't stop. keep pushing. Keep pushing forward. Keep pressing on. Keep pressing on in Jesus. Keep praying. Keep fasting. Keep reading his word. Don't stop. Acts 4:20 tells us we cannot stop telling about everything that we have seen and heard. Peter and John knew that they couldn't stop because everything had changed. And once you get into the presence of God and you begin to spend time with God, you know that you just cannot stop. You can't stop it. It's addicting. It's addictive. Threats wouldn't stop them. The attitudes of the unbelievers around them wouldn't stop them. The Sanhedrin wouldn't stop them. The Pharisees and the Sadducees wouldn't stop them. They knew that the time was critical and that the opportunity was great. Thus, when God gave to me this message, the tipping point, we are in this critical time and the opportunity is great, and we must understand and recognize that the threats were genuine, but they were in the right place at the right time. And I believe tonight, with a whole heart, with all of my soul, all of my mind, all of my spirit, that God has placed Calvary Gospel Church, he has placed you and he has placed me in this specific time for this specific reason, for a specific purpose. Listen, you may get sick and tired of me saying, church, we need to get ready, but we need to get ready because Sunday night we needed to be ready. It's now Wednesday night, and we are that much closer to what God is wanting to pour out on this church. We need to get prepared. What is coming, we cannot stop. What is coming, we cannot hold back. Acts 4:29-30. And now, O Lord, hear their hearts and give us your servants great boldness. I pray, God, give us great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand upon your church with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that upon our church. I pray, oh God, give us great boldness. But the first thing they felt they needed was more boldness. You see, they had boldness, but they continued. If you go through the book of Acts, you find it all over. They prayed for more boldness. They continued to pray. It wasn't just after the 5,000 came. The very next verses, the next chapter, they're praying for more boldness. They're praying for great boldness. Why did they feel a need for more boldness? Because they didn't want to give up one inch of what they had conquered and give it back to the enemy. They wanted more so they could give more. I keep praying for more Holy Ghost. Not just for the salvation of my own soul, but so when I go to the hobby shop, I can give a little bit of Holy Ghost and leave a little bit of Holy Ghost in the hobby store. I pray that when I go to the restaurant, that I can leave a little bit of Holy Ghost at the restaurant, and I still have enough Holy Ghost in me. So when I get to the gas station, I can leave a little bit of Holy Ghost at the gas station. I can take someone like Sister Janet George that took her trainer in her exercise class that has a tumor and just lays hands on her and begins to pray. She needs to refill that Holy Ghost. She needs to have more boldness. And I pray that everywhere we go, we are full of the Holy Ghost and full of boldness. They wanted the Lord to stretch out his hand with the healing power so that miraculous signs and wonders could be done. I'm believing that every day we're going to get reports back in that Sister so-and-so or Brother so-and-so was at this place or that place, and someone needed something and they laid hands on them and they began to speak in tongues and they were healed. That's why we need to keep praying for more boldness. More boldness. We want more so we can give more. You see, our supply, God has a limitless supply, but only so much will fit inside of you and me. And we have to keep that flowing, and we keep that flowing through a constant, constant flow of prayer in through our lives. I've developed this principle in my life. When the Bible says to take and pray without ceasing, that's what I do, Brother Hawk. All day long, I'm in my office, I'm typing, I'm looking, doing this, doing that, whatever it may be, driving down the road. I just developed a habit of praying. I like to talk. I like to talk to people. If I was sitting in an office and Brother Hawk was there, I would be engaging in Brother Hawk with Brother Hawk in conversation. So I've developed this. Now, there's different levels of prayer. There are times when, yes, you go into deep intercessory prayer. We have to do that. But there are times when I just want to have conversation, and I don't want to listen to Rush Limbaugh. So I take and I turn off Rush Limbaugh. I don't listen to him and all of the junk that's spewed out with politics and junk we can't do nothing about anyway. So I'm going to just take and spend that quality time with me and the God that created the heavens and the earth and the stars and all of that kind of stuff. That's where I want to spend my quality time. So if you see me driving down the road and you think I'm talking on Bluetooth, I don't have Bluetooth. I'm talking to God. Sometimes I put on a CD and I sing about how wondrous and how mighty and how great my God is, because I love him. I want to worship him. I don't know when I'm going to need some more power. I want to make sure that it's always there, so I can give it out and I don't run short myself. Boldness. They wanted the Lord to stretch out his hands for more healings, more miraculous signs and wonders. And the whole reason behind their prayer was because they were there to glorify the name of Jesus. When we look in Acts 4:31, after their prayer meeting, the meeting place shook. The very place that they were praying, the foundation, it shook. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. When they preached the word, they preached the word with boldness. I pray, God, I don't want to get up here and just teach a Bible study. I want to preach a Bible study. And I want to preach a Bible study with boldness. I want to be bold. Where do they get this from? They got it from prayer, but they also got it from the word. We must understand, for the word of God is sharper. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. And it's a discerner and the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God, it is a leaving. It is living. It is breathing. And it is able to judge. That's the autobiography of my God. That's what it is. It's powerful. Out of all the words known to man, there's nothing more powerful than the word of God. Philosophy and all of the books that are written on philosophy fails in comparison to the word of God. Science and all the concepts and fundamental beliefs does not come close to measuring up to the word of God. If you took all the prominent speakers from all the ages and compare what they would say about God and what they would have to say, their words would be a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Nothing compares to the power of the word of God. There's never been an individual, a group whose words carry more authority than God's. There's never been a political treaty that's been signed anywhere in the history of this world that has more power and authority than the word of God. His word instructs us how to live righteous. His word tells us if we're living unrighteous. There are no words written or spoken that have the same effect as the power of God's word. The writers of his word let us know the potency of that word. The word of God is powerful. It's sharp. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Not only is God's word alive, but it's powerful. That's why God's word, contrary to what the old pastor, retired pastor, ex-pastor, whoever it is of Mars Hill Church that recently made the statement that God's Word is some 2,000-year-old book that's outdated and obsolete. His Word will never, ever become obsolete. Sorry to break it to you, whoever your name is, I forget his name. His Word's never become obsolete. In fact, I can go into his Word and prove to you that 1,000 years from now, his Word will still stand strong. And every man since Adam's race will be judged by the contents that are in this Word. Not only is God's Word alive, but it's powerful. It's powerful. It's so powerful, it has so much authority that angels are moved at its command. That's another thing that God's been working with me on. I'm just going to throw this in. Something for you to pray about. You know what? If demonic spirits and spirit-possessed witches and all of these different, whatever you want to call them, goblins and geeks and whatever, they can take and call up evil spirits and cast spells on other people. Why do we never want to take and seeming like it's above us to call up angels and dispatch angels? That intrigues me. I know I'm not there yet. I'll be the first to tell you. But I believe that there's a day coming when we will be able to do that if we do it right and properly. There's a way to do it. I remember reading stories of Brother Mangan when he went there to Alexandria and he preached. And he would go out and he would dispatch angels to neighborhoods. I did this one day, and I know you say it's crazy. I just wanted to try it out, so I did it. I went to a neighborhood in town. I went out to the parking lot, got my vehicle, and I opened up all the doors, and I said, I don't know how many angels will fit in here. I have no clue. I can't see, can't tell. You don't need seatbelts, so don't worry. Pile in. I'm serious. Call me goofy. They piled in. I don't know how many piled in, and we headed over to a neighborhood. And I opened up the door and I said, I'm not quite for sure how this works, but here it is. Go do whatever you're supposed to do because we're coming in behind you. Now, I don't know. I didn't see anything. My car didn't move, didn't bump, didn't show any extra weight. I didn't drive down the road bottoming it out. I have no idea. People may just look at me and thought, you're absolutely crazy. And you know what? There may be some truth to that. But I did it anyway. And I'm just believing that as we go into this neighborhood, that God and the angels, they're there ahead of us. And they're doing their work, whatever that may be. Call it goofy, call it crazy, but you know what? If Satan can do it and people can do it, why can't I? Not only it's quick and powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, which means it has the uncanny ability to cut with surgical precision into the hearts and the lives. His Word cuts when it goes in, and it cuts when it comes out. The power is in His Word. It's so exact that every motive of our hearts are made bare before God. If we're liars, if we have a problem with lying, His Word reveals it. If we have a problem with sexual immorality and promiscuous, His Word reveals it. If we're cheaters and we're backbiters and gossipers, though His Word is so powerful that it reveals it. As a child of God, we're responsible not just for being hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. Since we bear witness to the power of God's Word, and since we're aware of the impact that it has on our lives, it's imperative as a Christian that we spend time in His Word, because His Word is powerful. It's powerful. We need to pray His Word. Pray His Word. When you pray and speak the Word over your situation, something supernatural begins to take place. His Word will accomplish what it has been sent out to do. His Word cuts through every situation, every problem that you're faced with. Jesus tells us that if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, we can tell the mountain to be cast into the sea and it will happen. Jesus tells us in John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. When we pray God's word over your situation, or when you pray God's word over your situation, you're literally speaking spirit and life into it. That's what it just said. It says his words are spirit and they are life. Some of the things we face in life requires supernatural faith to overcome. If you want to be an overcomer, you've got to pray and speak God's word over that situation. Listen, church, we need to learn how to work the word. We got to learn how to work it. It's a powerful weapon. It's a powerful tool. You couple prayer and you couple the word together. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Just think of that. Find a scripture to stand on and pray the word of God over yourself in that situation. Get out your sword. This is called our sword. It's the only offensive weapon that he gave us. Get it out. When you see the fruit of your words come to pass, your trust in God is strengthened. Your faith level climbs. When your faith level climbs, what happens? We just talked about that, didn't we? What? Boldness comes. There you go. Somebody's taking notes. This is part of our growth as a Christian. This is what Romans 5, 3 and 4 tells us. We grow, the glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Trouble bursts patience, and patience bursts experience. Experience bursts hope. God doesn't tell you to speak to the mountain so you can prove yourself to him. That's not what it's all about. God tells you to speak to the mountains in your life so you can know what, so you know what you can do in him. This mountain, it's for you. When you view your problems, or when we view our problems from God's perspective, we realize that our problems are just really nothing more than an opportunity. Pick up your sword, church. Pick up your sword. I want to encourage you to find a scripture, whatever that encouraging scripture is, and be relentless with it. Every time something comes against you, I want you to take with boldness, declare the word of God in your life. Pray the word of God in your life with boldness. Whatever situation you face today, you can overcome it by praying and speaking the word of God. God's word is a guarantee of the end result. Refuse to get up until you see God's word happen. So many times we pray and we pray one time and it doesn't happen. When we pray and we get all frustrated and we start looking for other ways to solve the problem. Read his word. It's one thing to just read it and another thing to study it. Read his word, study it. There's a direct connection between the degree to which our minds are shaped by the scripture and the degree of which our prayers are answered. We need to grasp a hold of some of this stuff, church. We need to understand. Jesus said in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will. Ask whatever you will. Is that not what it says? Ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. That doesn't mean you go out and say, it's a nice day, Lord, I want a Harley. Harley Fat Boy 1200, aqua blue and pearl white. That's not what he's saying here, church. It's amazing how many Christians have access to this awesome power, but fail to use it. It blows my mind that Christians will spend more time gossiping than they spend reading the Word of God. It's interesting how many folks never study God's Word until a crisis comes. Listen, we have to prepare ourselves, church, not just for our crisis, but for the crisis of the person that's sitting across from us in the cubicle at work. This is what I'm talking about. By the power of God's word, sinners become saints. By the power of God's word, lives are transformed. The power of his word The psalmist says it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The power of his word is a key that unlocks the hardened heart. Even through persecution, even though persecution is coming against us, come against the word of God. And we see it now all across our nation and all across our world. Persecution has come against it, but his word remains strong. It's never going to pass away. If you could stand to your feet tonight, the musicians, even though the waves of immorality have lashed out against it, his word still remains. I've read more blogs lately about the word of God and how it is just so irrelevant in our world today. But it's the word of God that's keeping our world today from falling into the abyss of sin. It's the word of God that's keeping this world together. Jesus Christ is the living word of God. It's the word of God that saved a wretch like me. It's confidence in our knowledge of the word of God that gives us boldness. God is looking for people who will step aside from the busyness of their lives and cry out to God for more. I pray, God, I want boldness, Lord. I don't want bluntness. I want to be able to talk boldly, Lord, in the marketplaces of my life. I want to be able to talk boldness, Lord. I want to be able to talk your word boldly and declare your word. God, I want to pray. I want to be able to lay hands on the sick, Lord, and watch them recover, Lord. Not just at this altar, Lord, but I want to do it at the car wash, and the grocery store. Wherever I go, I want to be that light. I want to be that boldness. I want to be that example. God, give us boldness, Lord. God, give us boldness. Give us, Lord, amazing boldness. There's no gimmicks here tonight. There's no say these words or this word and chant this or chant that. It's just having simple faith. Having simple faith. I want to open up this altar area for you to come down and pray. We need boldness, church. One miracle and 5,000 people were added. What if that one miracle was God calling you to a life of boldness, to where you boldly declare? You need a healing in your body tonight? Boldly declare your healing in the name of Jesus. If you're afraid, if you feel intimidated at times, pray for boldness. Be bold tonight and come down to this altar and pray for boldness. If you need the Holy Ghost tonight, don't be afraid. Ask for it. Boldly, boldly ask. If you have a situation in your life, boldly declare victory over that situation. Praise God, Lord, I pray tonight, Lord Jesus.